One of the great things about being a shofar is you're never left alone. You're not told, go and do a job, and then kind of left to your own devices. So whether it's within your small group or planting a congregation, and you might think maybe only the first relates to you rather than the second, but you never know. And it's great for Sally and I to know that Yaku and Erna are not only over us, but with us. And Yaku, it's great to have you with us today. I'm going to take the children away. But one thing I didn't say is we're going to, before Liberty preparation session, there'll be food and there's enough for everyone. So you're all welcome to stay after the service for food, even if you're not doing the preparation session for Liberty.
Thank you. Okay, I think the color is better now. Good. How's everybody? Awake? Just want to say, you guys, you always look, it's cramping my style here. I'm like, you know, I feel. Yeah, thanks. Okay, I'll move forward. But now some of you are going to get spit on you. Okay. Right. It's a blessing to be here. Double whammy, eh? 2 weeks in a row. Can't get better than that. What a blessing. With a tooting family. I feel very loud. I'm sure you guys can all hear me fine. Can we put it a little bit down? Otherwise, the guys in the library. Well, it's good for them to hear the word. Thank you. Thank you. No, it's fine. Thanks, Jess. Right. Let's just. Okay. Before we go, can I ask you a quick question? Quickly think of. Two people, the two people that are closest to you, the two relationships, the two human people, human relationships, that are the most important to you in your life now. Now, right now, at this moment. Quickly think about that. Don't shout out loud. I don't want to offend anybody. Okay, you got them? Good. Now, pick one of the two. Don't have time for two. Let's just pick one. And then, quickly think, if you really, really wanted to bless that person, you know, bless their socks off, you know, like they cannot believe it. If you want to make the year, but not in just buying something for them, but doing something for them, what would that be? Just think for a moment. Everybody must participate, okay? Those there at the back. You got it? This is very hard work. I see Bessie's like really focusing. Is it difficult? Okay. The reason I ask. Yeah, it's cool, you know. So when we get to know people, Apostle Marcus a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned something. I don't know if I mentioned it here, if he mentioned it here. But he said falling in love, he took it in a love context, but I mean it could be in a any relational context. Loving someone, you know, or caring for somebody involves doing what the other person likes, right? Doing what they enjoy. So that's why I asked the question. It's going to make more sense in a moment. Let's just pray. Let's get into the word. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can come and worship you, God, together. Thank you that we can, as a family in Christ, we can lift up your name over this place, God. And I just say, oh, we just exalt your name over this campus, over this hospital, over this community, over this city. And even as we're saying just now, Lord, let your kingdom come. as it is in heaven, Lord, let your kingdom come right here, right now, God, in the name of Jesus. That's our desire. That's why we're here, Father, is to see your kingdom established, is to see your will done, is to see your name lifted up, God, and is to see many saved, God. So our desire is that for you to come here right now, Lord, that you be lifted up in our praise. And as we just come and draw near to you this morning, and as we come into your word, Lord, our desire is to meet with you, God. And we thank you that we can have a confidence in that this morning, that when we draw near, that you draw near to us, God. And Lord, we commit this time to you. We commit our thoughts, and I commit my words and thoughts to you, that may be pleasing to you, God, and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, but it's fun, right? Isn't it fun blessing someone, doing something that you know, yes, they're going to love this? Like, I was really blessed by you guys doing that bridal shower for Vaughn. I wasn't there, couldn't make it, but thanks for the invite. Sheesh. But, it sounded great, and that must have been fun, right? Fun blessing someone, fun having an almost a surprise, and yeah, it's great. I mean, and it, you know, when I remember when I met Erna, my wife, it took a couple of months for me to get to the point where I realized, no, I want to go for this one, and I want to pursue this one, and then I remember doing proper research. Spoke to some friends, you know, try to figure out what's her favorite flower. It's important stuff, you know. What does she like to eat? What doesn't she like to eat, you know? Kind of getting to find out what's the thing that's going to really bless her. And went out of my way, guys. I can really tell you, really went the 50 extra miles to get that sorted. And obviously, praise God, it paid off. She said yes. But funnily enough, this might be news to you, but once you've been married for a couple of years, it seems like it requires more effort to stay in that same mindset and more discipline, because now she's already said yes, right? She's never said not going anywhere. I don't laugh. Friendships, it's the same. Friendships, sometimes you get kind of familiar with people. And not only friendships, partnerships. Sometimes in church we've got partnerships with people. We're not best friends, which is fine. But we're partners in the gospel, you know. And sometimes it's important just to kind of recognize what is it that really blesses that person. Sometimes, like you guys did with Vaughn, we just need to go out of our way to say, we're going to bless this person. I'm going to bless this person. Okay, but we enjoy it and it's great. Some people enjoy it more than others. People are more wired that way. This morning we're looking at a bit of a different angle. Just in terms of getting back to Alan and I, you know, if you had to ask me a couple of years ago, do you do baking? I figured out the other day, Ed and I know each other for 10 years this year. A lot can happen in 10 years, eh? In any case, if you had to ask me 10 years ago, baking, I would say, nah, not my thing. I don't think I've ever baked something before that. I might have tried to help my mom. Would help in that context means licking the bowl type of thing, you know. But in any case, so, but now I do baking, guys. I'm not very good. Good at following instructions and assisting, yeah, and eating. I do that very good, very well. And before I had a little girl, dolls, stuff like that. Nah, not really my thing. Now, yes, I do that. We got this little house for Abby in the garden. Use all our nectar points. What can you use them for, any case? I barely fit in the door, but I go in there. I'm there. It kills the knees, but I'm in there, and we're making food for the doll. We're feeding the doll. It's great because I love her. It's my thing now. I'll do that. I don't care. Are you with me? Okay. So this morning we're looking at something else. We're looking at... Let's just move this over here and it'll all make sense in a moment. Oh dear. Did I do that? Okay.
Nice picture.
You like my picture? Cool, eh? It was not mine. I got it. It's a template, okay? But it's nice. Anyways. Snowboarding. Okay. So, oh dear, I forgot to start this. Okay, so, this morning we're looking at this angle. When last did you and I stop to think, what blesses God? If I were to take out a day and to say, today I'm going to not do, I'm not going to do anything of my own stuff. I'm just going to bless God. I'm going to sit and think and pray and really, what can I do that's going to bless him? That's going to delight him. It's going to blow him away. Right? Have you thought about that? Because we love him, don't we? Because that relationship is like important. You know what? I'm going to just change one setting here. If you can just bear with me. Okay, just try that again. Man, what did I do now? Sorry, guys. Okay. Sorry, I thought this was going to be a good idea, Dong. Now I'm struggling. Okay. What happened to my presentation now? It disappeared. It's not. It's not on there though. Okay, sorry guys. So. No worries. Focus. We'll get there. Okay, we got it back. It's just now I have to read from the screen, which is not a problem. We'll do that. So this morning we're going to look at that. What is it that really blesses God? What is on his heart? If I want to take out a week or a month or a lifetime and really bless him, what is on his heart? And let's look at this. What pleases him? Let's look at Ephesians 5. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God, I'm just going to get some context there, the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. And then the key one I want to focus on. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. I carefully determined what pleases my wife. Okay? And I have to continually do that. Because these things change, right? With God, it doesn't change, so don't stress about that. But, obviously, for different seasons in your life, it might change. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Let's go on. So, be careful how you live. Verse 15. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So there's a place where you and I can understand what he wants. We can determine what pleases him. We can understand what the Lord wants us to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. That's pretty straightforward, right? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourself. making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a very interesting dynamic that comes forward here, is that firstly, carefully determine what pleases the Lord, right? It's possible for us to determine what pleases Him. And we are encouraged here to look at that, carefully determine it. And it's possible, and it's God's desire that we understand what He wants us to do. That we understand what His will is for us. That we understand what's on His heart and what's a priority for Him and what blesses Him, what pleases Him, what delights Him. Right? I'm going to look at this mostly out of the perspective of a parent. Okay? But it'll make sense to you, don't worry. Some of you are not that far from being parents. You think you are, but no, it's just... Okay. Carefully determine what pleases Him. Okay, let's have a look quickly. What? Firstly, what is the Father's heart for us? Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You know what blesses me as a dad? Is when Abigail is full of joy. It's when she's enjoying herself. Tell you what, it's great. I love it. When she's laughing, happy, enjoying herself. Not when she's enjoying herself doing the wrong thing. Okay, that's not cool. But when she's full of joy, it's amazing. It's amazing what that does. And you know what? I delight in that. I can watch her all day like that. It blesses me. And can you look at this? It's just astounding that it's on the heart of God. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. It's on His heart. It's God's desire that our joy may be full, that we may be full of joy. Can you imagine the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings? It blesses Him when you and I are enjoying life. Right? He's come, in John 10:10, read that Jesus says, the thief doesn't come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Right? That's His there. That's why He came. That you may have abundance of life. That's it. That's on His heart. And He likes it and He enjoys it. And as a dad, it makes sense to me. If I can do something to bless Abby, or if she's kind of having fun, that blesses me. She's having fullness of life. We were blessed with a trampoline. You know how much joy a little person can get out of something simple like that? And she doesn't even know how properly to jump yet. She just kind of falls on her bum. It's amazing. And it's great. We love it and we enjoy it. And that's the heart of God. And I just felt preparing this, there's some people here that struggle with this concept. Struggle to receive the fact that God wants you to have a full life. To have fullness of joy. That it's on the Father heart of God. It's on His heart for you to be blessed. And to prosper. And please do not equate. There's this thing, mostly, well, it's popular in America. It's called the prosperity gospel. Okay? Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want us to be looked after and blessed and prosper. I'm not saying that. It's good. Yes, I agree. But that's not the only thing. Okay? The joy that He wants us to have goes way beyond physical provision. So whether if I'm called to go and minister in the slums of India or in Africa somewhere, you know what? I'm going to live in a different kind of environment because of the people I'm ministering to. But that doesn't mean I won't be joyful. Are you with me? So the joy of the Lord and the joy that He wants us to have and the full life that He wants us to have goes way beyond what car do I drive or what's on my bank balance. It goes beyond that. But He wants us to have a full life and to prosper and to be blessed. And I just want to encourage you, if this is something you're struggling with, we're going to pray at the end for you to come to a place where you recognize, you know what? I'm God's favored child. He likes me. He doesn't only love you. We kind of settle the thing, and when we're Christians for a while, we recognize, you know what? I recognize God loves me because He died for me. But God actually likes you as well. Have you thought about that? Something, nah, it can't be. God wants us to be blessed and wants us to have a full life. Let's look at the next one then. What does God delight? Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. What blesses me even more about Abigail is when she is joyful because of something I've done. Like this little house we got her now. She got so excited. I was like taking it out of the box. It's like a big thing, you know. It wasn't that difficult to assemble, but, you know, it's like this thing. And she was opening the door. I was still kind of screwing on the sides together. She was opening the door and saying, hello, you know. She couldn't wait to get playing in her little house. And you know what, when it's as a father, that blesses me. When I've done something and I could see that she delights in me. When she wants to give me a hug, when she wants to give me a cuddle or whatever. Not all children are like that, so we're enjoying it. She's very affectionate. When she responds to something I've done, it blesses me. And the same with the Father God. He delights in our delight in Him. Does that make sense? When I find my joy in my Father God, when I find my peace in Him, when there's nothing that satisfies me more than He does, He delights in that. When I keep that precious part of my heart reserved for Him only, that precious part of my trust and my intimacy and what I share, I keep reserved for Him. We're doing a marriage prep course at the moment with some people, and we were chatting about this. It's an interesting concept, how much you open up to somebody in terms of emotional sharing. That's maybe worth mentioning. If you're in friendship, it's good to have healthy boundaries, right? Some of us don't share, isn't healthy either. Some of us just go bleh, and we share everything. We go just bleh, it's all there. That's not good either. Okay, so in friendship we should have a healthy boundary, and with friends you share, and then you have accountability partners with maybe you share a bit more, but then there's still a part of your heart that is reserved for your marriage partner only. And then there's still, even when you're married, there's beyond that, even there's a part of your heart that is only reserved for God. Nobody else goes there. Does that make sense? It's to do with priority. It's to do with who's first in our lives. Amen? So, yeah, maybe you need to consider what you share and how you share it and who you share it with. But so, He delights if our delight is in Him. So I want to throw that out there. What's the thing that blesses you? What is this thing that really makes you come alive? Obviously, God loves it if you're enjoying ourselves. He loves it when we enjoy stuff like snowboarding or a day out paintballing. He likes that. Or having a great bridal shower together and having a wonderful party. It's great. But then, what is it? Is there a place that you find your delight in Him? That you find your joy in Him, your peace in Him. Because that delights Him, that blesses God. Are you with me this morning? Very quiet, you guys are focused. This is good news, hey? Okay. Then, there's another thing that really blesses me about Abigail. You know what blesses me about when she listens to what I say. And you know what blesses me more is when she listens the first time. Because Abigail, Erna was reading this book, I must get around to it, but she's been telling me about it. It's about parenting, okay? This is good knowledge. Just store it away, okay? Just keep it there. But what it does, it talks about the different characteristics, and it helps you to identify the personality of your child. Have you heard about love languages? Yes, have you applied them? Not really, okay. It's good for friends as well. In other words, different things bless different people, right? Children are the same. Before you parent, you didn't think about these things. But children, you can't just treat all your children the same. When we grew up, it was kind of thought to be the fair thing to do is everybody is the same. Obviously, there's some things that you need to be consistent in. But you can't discipline all the children the same because they're different people. Some you need to just raise your voice and look like that, and then they're like, geez, they know they've done wrong. But we found, and we've read in this book, and we've really found it to be accurate in terms of Abigail. She's a very people person, and she loves playing with people, and she's very affectionate, you know, she loves her buddies, even though she's not even 2 yet. I mean, she's got a song for her favorite friends, like JD. JD's name is Chandra, but it's a difficult name, so we call him JD, okay? She can't say Chandra, so she's got a JD song. She goes, JD, JD. She loves it. You know Chandra, all right. So she's got a JD song. But the thing is, and this is what the book says, and we recognize this in her life, is that this kind of personality, when they get caught out doing something and they get punished, they think, unlucky. Next time, I'm sure I won't get caught next time. And they do it again. And they will keep doing it. They kind of test the boundaries and they'll keep checking. No, I'm surely this won't happen again. Surely I'll get away with it next time. Surely this would, So we find that it's hectic. But what blesses me is when she actually responds, when she listens to what I say. God delights in our obedience. 1 Samuel 15, this is where the King Saul went in obedience to God and went to war against a certain nation, and everything went according to plan, went according to what God said. But then God gave some specific instructions about the spoils. Okay? And Saul then got a bit creative in his obedience. Right? We do that sometimes. Get creative. Be obeying God. And then he said, no, let's do it differently. Let's make this huge sacrifice thing for God, because it's very spiritual, right? Making a sacrifice to God. But this was not what God instructed him to do. So this is what Samuel tells him. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Hectic, eh? We think, no, you know what? I'm going to be very spiritual now. I'm going to make this sacrifice, and I'm going to take my tithe, and I'm going to bless this charity down the road. And God says, no, don't be creative in your obedience. The tithe goes to the storehouse. The storehouse is here in your spiritual family. Don't get creative. Okay? So there's certain things where God wants us to be creative, but not in our obedience to Him. Amen? And same with Abigail. When I tell her something and she does it, yeah, it blesses me. And when she does it the first time, it's even greater. You know, I don't have to. And God delights in our obedience. Still, you know, we often talk about worship, how that blesses God. And I'm not mentioning that now because I think we know about that. Worship doesn't obviously only mean on a Sunday morning or in a small group when we sing and we worship. That's one part kind of worship. But worship is what we do in our relationship with God. That's basically most of our lives is worship. But obedience, I reckon, is probably the highest form of worship, if you understand what that means, because God delights in that. He delights in our obedience. Amen. So, this is a challenge, guys, because sometimes we feel, wow, handbrake's on in my life. Have you driven with a handbrake up in your car? It's not cool, eh? It damages the car, the brakes, so if you can't avoid it. But you kind of go, oh, this thing is not going today, and then you recognize, oh dear, this light is on there. Sometimes it feels like that in life. You feel like the handbrake's up and stuff not happening. If that's like that in your life, just go humble yourself before God, remember? Humble yourself. Remember last week? Okay. Humble yourself and go to God and say, Lord, did I miss you somewhere? Did I not obey you? Did I get creative in obedience? Did I ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes God will take us back to our last point of obedience before we can move forward. Amen? This is not a heavy thing, guys. God is gracious. But don't just plow forward with a handbrake up. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I might have missed you somewhere. I might have ignored you. I might have grieved the Spirit or squenched the Spirit. Just repent of that. Go back to God. Say, Lord, I repent. I remember that you told me that thing and I didn't want to do it, or I was offended or whatever. Just repent. Bring your heart before God that you can take down the handbrake and move. Go forward. Okay? So God delights in our obedience. It blesses him. And like I said, he delights, especially when we do it first time. Sometimes, us as humans, you know, we fast and pray about stuff, you know, get 50 confirmations, then we form a committee, and we get some other guy's opinions. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to get people's input, okay? If you're making big decisions, it's good to have the counsel of many, as the scripture says. People that know God, people that hear from the Lord, people that you can trust, some of the your leaders, that's good. But sometimes when God says something, we need to just do it. Amen? Don't fast about it, don't pray too much. There's a few things that are very plain in Scripture, don't have to think much about it. Okay. You know what really blesses me is when Abigail is eager to obey. She's very excitable. And sometimes when I ask her to do something, she's and I ask her to say fetch something for argument's sake. Sometimes she doesn't know what I mean. She's kind of still learning the language thing. So she's kind of trying to figure out what is it that he wants, you know. But you can see she's really keen, you know. She runs out and she fetches the wrong thing and she comes back and she's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, cool, thanks, you know. But, you know, it blesses me, even if she brings the wrong thing, because she's eager to do what I say. It's amazing. And you know what, guys? God's the same. He's not blessed when we, like I said, when we think, oh, you know, and then we rationalize and we think, you know what? God probably meant this. That happened to me the other day. I bought myself some cool cycling shoes on eBay. Brand new. But I got them for like a bargain. And then I felt I must give them to somebody. And I thought, yeah, you know, these things, that's the right color and the cool mark, you know. And then I thought, maybe I must just hang in a little bit, and if I get another pair on eBay, then I can, you know. I was like getting creative. And I just felt convicted. I said, no, just do what God says. Don't start making plans and think maybe this or when that happens or if God blesses me with, you know. No. Amen? So I just said, okay, sorry, God. And I just blessed the guy. And they were a little bit big for me. They fit him perfectly. What can you do? So be careful of that, guys. When God says something, just do it. Yeah. Just, and be eager in obedience. Specifically if it means, if it's got to do with somebody else, right? Sometimes the window of opportunity is small. And we've all had that, guys. We've all missed windows of opportunity when God has said, quickly pray for that person, or quickly bless them, or quickly encourage them. And we're like, oh, got to rush class, or hungry, whatever, and then it's past. Don't dwell on those. Don't be heavy about them. Just repent, but just do that. Repent, and next time, take the opportunity. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. Then, John 10:10. Ah, I read this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, there's two things here. God delights in our obedience, right? And our life depends on our obedience. Now, there are two ways that this happens. The first one is the obvious one. This happened to a friend of ours the other day. And he's got a boy, he's just turned two the other day, beginning of the year. And you know what? At that age, they're quick, eh? Let me just tell you, Abby's got a funny little run, but she's quite quick. And they were walking, and he was walking towards the road, and he didn't see the car. Okay, the boy's this high. Didn't see the car coming. But the dad saw the car. Now, in that situation, he's just far enough that he can't reach him. That car's coming quite fast. So what do? So he shouts. He literally just screams at this boy. I don't know what he said. But praise God, the boy just made a U-turn. And he turned back. And as he came back, the car went, came past like that. That's like a nightmare situation for any parent. But praise God, that boy listened to his dad. Right? His life depended on that obedience. How often, guys, do we read something in Scripture and we think, "Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh, eh?" I mean, when he was running, he was enjoying himself, having fun. It's a great day, beautiful. I'm running. Having fun, being two is great. Now suddenly my dad shouts at me. Like, what's that all about? I don't know, come back or stop or whatever. I don't know what he said. Gets this hectic, almost like a harsh command. It wasn't a question or a request, it was a command. I was thinking, you know, if he didn't have time to be offended, he didn't have time to think about it or question or ask, get advice or fast about it. Because he would have killed him, right? Often it's the same with us, guys. We read something, or we hear something, or leader says something. We think, yes, that's a bit harsh. That doesn't make any sense. But the thing is, you don't see the car, or you don't see the bigger picture. Are you with me? But the Father does. So when we see stuff in Scripture, that's why people that don't understand Scripture, don't understand the heart of God, have a problem with some Scriptures. And they say, no, this is ancient stuff. This doesn't make any sense anymore. We've moved way beyond that. When God says don't have sex outside of marriage, he's not saying it to spoil your fun. He's saying it will kill you. Don't do that. Don't go there. It's going to kill you. Are you with me? This is designed for this, for marriage. There it's going to bless you. Not there, it's going to kill you. Right? So the Father says, no, don't go there. Come this way. This is there. It's blessed. You can run as much as you want. Okay. So if the Lord says certain things very strongly in Scripture, we think, it's not to spoil our fun. He's just saying, no, don't play in the street. It's dangerous there. Yeah. In this area, I've created this area for you to play and have fun and have full of joy, have fullness of joy and have a full life. But I've created this safe environment for you. And there is fullness of joy. Are you with me this morning, guys? You think you're looking very depressed. It's not bad news. And in the same way that Anna and I have to think about with the area that we create for Abigail where she can have fun because she doesn't see the bigger picture. So we must make sure that she can't just randomly run into the street or... And we have to be careful with the kind of, now this trampoline is a blessing, but it needs some protective stuff. So it needs a cover over the springs because they can hurt her. And then we want to get a net because our garden is small and there's some paving, so she's going to dive onto the paving, you know. It's not cool. So we're not going to put up the net to spoil her fun. Amen? But it's because we don't want her to get hurt. In the same way, our life depends on our obedience to God, even when we don't understand. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it sounds harsh. I mean, are you with me, guys? Because we, and the key here is trust. Do we trust Him? Do I trust my Father? And that's why, when I hear stories like this, what this happened with this boy, praise God, he's all fine. I'm encouraged to discipline my daughter until she listens to me. First time, I'm encouraged as a dad. Are you with me? Because I don't want to sit in a situation where she's running and I say something and she's whatever. Are you with me? And God's the same, guys. Sometimes he must kind of discipline us a bit because he doesn't want us to get killed or hurt. And we think, oh, you know, God is so hectic on me, or all these things that are happening. When I was praying before, I just felt there's somebody here that's experiencing a dry patch. It feels like it's dry, spiritually. Maybe different areas as well. And I just felt God is saying, position yourself. My provision hasn't changed. My heart for you hasn't changed. It's somewhere it's raining, but you're not there. So maybe you need to make a few shifts. Are you with me? So, often when we feel we're dry spiritually, it's not because God has removed something. It's because God has moved. It's like the cloud, pretend there's a removing cloud of rain. Now, we must just go where God is. Because there's provision. And it's not dry there. Are you with me? I mean, maybe that's for somebody here. Maybe you need to pray about a step of obedience that you missed, or I don't know, maybe you've ignored something God has said, whether it be through people or something, or maybe you need to just spend some time chatting with somebody and praying with somebody and say, Lord, okay, I'm experiencing a bit of a drought, I'm experiencing a bit of a tough thing. What is it? Did I miss something, or is it a bit of a test, or what is it? Let me just get to grips with what you're doing. Amen. Okay. Second thing here is abundance of life. And that's part of that thing. Adam and I creating a space for Abigail where she can have abundance of life there in the back garden. Right? So, it must be safe. But it's also, there's lots of cool stuff there. In the same way, and so if she listens to us and she plays in the area that we have created for her, she's going to have great fun there. If she goes somewhere else and gets creative, she might think this is going to be more fun, but it's not, because it's going to be dangerous, or it's going to be, and that the key thing is the stuff that we have blessed her with, that's not going to be there. So sometimes we need to obey God, or not all, sometimes, we need to obey God so that we can be positioned in the abundance that He has prepared for us. Right? So that might mean obeying God in terms of what He's saying to us about our job or our studies or our relationships. Might seem, wow, this is not making any sense. I really like this guy. And now I feel God saying, and the leaders are saying, no, this guy is bad news. Whatever. I'm like, oh. But we don't see that God has prepared something good for us. And for us to be there and to get there, we need to obey now. And stuff that doesn't make sense. That happened to me more than once, guys. Get excited about a young lady. Yeah. Godly woman, you know. And then I remember the one time I got to know a lady, and she was really great. It's not like she was an atheist or something, okay? She was a Christian girl. And I just felt the Lord saying, no, that's not it. And I was like, oh, I was going to go for it. And at the moment, at that stage, it was difficult for me because I was geared and was ready to jump in there. And the Lord just said, no, just sow that seed and just trust me. It was tricky then, but I'm so happy now because now I'm positioned in the place that God had prepared for me. So, even the abundance of life that God has prepared for us depends on our obedience to Him. Are you with me in that? He sees the bigger picture. He sees what He has prepared. And even sometimes He gives us a glimpse of that. And we think we're very clever. And we think, okay, obviously if God is taking me to that corner, the next step is going to be there. Because I'm going there. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes we need to, you know, I think David mentioned this once. Maybe that door doesn't have a key, but if a door had a lock, maybe I need to go and get the key in the corridor and then go there. No, but we're going to go there now. So we kind of make plans and we get sorted and we get organized and we're like, yeah, God is giving me a word. Sometimes we need to just say, okay, Lord, I recognize that. I'm going to pray in that, but what is the next step? And then God says, corridor. I think, okay, I don't understand it, but that's fine. Here I go. Amen. Okay, so even the abundance of life that God has prepared for us depends on our obedience. Our life depends on it. Okay, we need to finish. Then, finally, if you think about Christ, about His life on earth, what is He like? What blesses Him? And I find it refreshing from time to time just to work through the Gospels again. Before I read, I pray, I say, Lord, show me Christ, show me Jesus. I want to know Him. Guys, it's amazing. Because we see what was important to Jesus. What was on His heart? What is it that He was passionate about? Because that's what I want to be passionate about, right? Maybe 20 years ago, if you asked me, you into evangelism? I was like, nah, that's not for me. No, I said, yes, that's my thing. Because it's on the heart of the Father. Okay, let's look at this one. The passion of the Christ. Matthew 9:35-37. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Just pause there. Just for all the medics in the house. Do you see those wide sweeping statements that make us all nervous? All the scientifically minded people. I love it when scripture does that. All the cities and villages, right? Every sickness and every disease. So if you had any doubt, maybe you thought there was some that are out of reach. Every sickness, okay, and every disease. Not here if it was your lucky day and you were around, maybe one or two got healed. No, He healed all of them. Praise God, okay. Verse 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, extra verse there. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. This is on the heart of the Father, guys. This is what He's passionate about. If you see these things people get up to, these extreme things, you know, people climb mountains and there's this guy, his mom used to be, I don't know if she's still there, in our congregation in Stellenbosch, he swam the length of the Amazon River. Yeah, Evan. You know what's in the Amazon River? Yeah, it's interesting stuff. He swam it and he circumvented the equator or something, like on his own. Circumnavigated And I thought, he's done ridiculous things. People get up to these things and you think, why? You know? But they, it seems like they're after something. They're passionate about something. But, you know, people go to extreme lengths to achieve stuff. And it almost, it's life-threatening stuff that they do. So they almost give their life for something. You hear about people giving their lives for a cause, and laying down their lives for a cause. This is what Christ laid his life down for, guys. He wasn't confused. This was it. So that every man and every woman can be saved. So that all men can have the knowledge of the truth. And when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. Guys, when we walk on campus and walk in our workplace or in our community, let's trust God. Let's ask God. If you don't have it, ask him. Say, Lord, I want to know your heart for these people. Ask God, Lord, I don't care about the lost. I'll just be honest. But Lord, I want to. I want to know your heart for them. I want to know your heart for the lost. My friends that don't know you, my family that don't know you. We can ask him for that. Let's stand this morning. I want to say to you, every moment, but listen to me now, every moment, whether it be in prayer or whether it be in encouragement or in just building friendship, or reaching out, or blessing somebody, reaching out to somebody. Every moment that you and I invest into somebody else's life is precious to God. Right? What can we take into eternity with us? Can't take that BMW that you've been saving up for all your life for now. Can't take your, you know, your degrees and qualifications, not worth much up there. Sorry, disappoint some. Studying hard, keep studying hard. you know, what else? That little house Abigail's so excited about now. Can't take that long. We can take souls. Souls and relationships. Fruit that will have some significance in eternity. So we're thinking about what is precious. What is precious to God? What delights him? What blesses him? What is of eternal value? I say to you guys, every moment you and I invest into somebody's life, praying for someone, encouraging them, you know, reaching out to somebody, might mean taking time out saying, I'm going to trust to spend time with this person because I want them to be saved. Take them for lunch, take them for coffee, whatever it takes. But every moment that you invest, that's precious to God. So don't do it in the flesh, right? Do it in faith. Say, God, I'm going to take this precious time, because we're precious about our time, right, guys? Yep. Yes. Oh, yeah, we are. And I know, you know, when people say this, I know most of these students don't believe me, that you have, now as a student, for those of you that are students, you are now have the most time that you will ever have in your life. Okay. So invest it wisely. Invest in people. Invest in souls. Invest in somebody's salvation. Amen. That's precious to God. Every you know, if you're coming here and you're doing stuff, doing setup and doing foundations or whatever, spiritual growth, whatever you're involved in, that is. If somebody gets born again, when somebody gets born again, somebody gets discipled, you've got a part in that. Right? That's amazing. That's why we're here. So I want to encourage you guys. Let's think about this. What are you spending your time on? What's on your heart? What's on the Father heart? How have you prayed that prayer? Lord, what will really bless you today? What do you want me to do? So there's a few specific things I want to pray about this morning. That I felt. This one, like I said, I feel this might be some people that have struggled to receive from God. I mean, that for us to be able to bless others, we must be able to receive. Okay? Okay, so if you maybe it's because of where you've grown up, in the, I don't know, where you come from. If you're struggling to receive the fact that God wants you to be blessed, wants you to have a full life, and believe that He wants the best for you, wants you to prosper, then I want to pray for you this morning.
Yeah.
And then for some of us, I believe God wants to remind us of a step of obedience that we need to go back to. So let's just close our eyes and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are our Father. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in our joy, God. Our fullness of life, God. Thank you, God, that you came and you gave your life, Lord Jesus, so that we might have abundance of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you went all the way, God. You endured the cross. You despised the shame so that we may have fullness of life. I pray for every person here, Lord. I thank you for a softening of hearts this morning, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you that even when we don't see the bigger picture, that we can obey you, God, without asking questions, without pausing too long or thinking or rationalizing, that we can obey you, God, eagerly, implicitly, passionately. And I just, I thank you this morning for hearts to soften, Lord, to receive from you, God, your blessing, Lord, your provision, your fullness of life, God. I thank you, Lord, for soft hearts to receive your instruction, Lord, and to receive even your discipline when it comes, because we know our abundance of life depends on it, Lord. In Jesus' name. And as every eye is closed, if you're here this morning, you're struggling to receive from the Father, and you're not even sure that He wants the best for you, and you've maybe been hurt in the past in certain ways. I don't know if any of that applies to you. If you could just show put your hand up and show and just respond to God. I just want to pray for us this morning. Okay, you can drop your hands again. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let us pray for every person here, Lord. I thank you, God, for right now, Lord, you... I thank you for an affirmation from the Father. I just sense you want to say to every person here, I love you, my son, my daughter, I love you. I like you. I've paid the price for you. And I want you to be blessed. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. The Father of lights, and there's no shadow of turning. He is the giver of every good gift. There's no variation, there's no shadow of turning. And I thank you, Lord, right now for every heart, even though specifically those that raise their hands. God, I thank you that you remove every doubt, every fear. I just sense every fear of rejection, fear of getting hurt, gets cast out by your perfect love in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, for a capacity, Lord, to receive fullness of life from you, to receive blessing and abundance flowing over, blessings so much that they cannot contain it, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for each of us here, Lord. I thank you for a release to be like a child again, excited about what we receive from you, Lord, excited about you, delighting ourselves in you, God, delighting ourselves in what blesses you. Father, I thank you for a release this morning and a capacity to enjoy you, God, to delight ourselves in you. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity to trust you. In Jesus' name. I thank you for that, you removed doubt and fears and gave us a capacity to trust that you know best and you have the best at heart for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for... thank you, Lord, that you delight in our obedience. If you're here this morning and every eye is closed, and I want you just looking around now, if you know that there have been maybe one or two things that you've missed in terms of obedience, and God has spoken to you clearly, and they were precious from the world, or they were precious from your friends, or from parents or from studies or whatever, wherever that came from, and you didn't you know you have to fix that with God. You have to go back there. You have to repent and you have to obey. If that's you this morning, just please put up your hand where you're at. Nobody is looking. Just show God, and He wants to take you back to the place of obedience. Thank you. You can lay your hands. Father, just where you're at now, before I pray, just softly where you're at, just please, if you could repent, just bring it before God, and just bring a heart of repentance before Him, and just, in your own words, just repent and bring it before Him. And Lord, just pray for us. So Father, we come humbly, God. We acknowledge, God, that we've sinned against you, Lord, and we've disobeyed, God. We repent in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for grace to go back, Lord, and to obey in Jesus' name. I thank you for grace to grow in this, Lord, to grow in our obedience, that we would be eager to obey, Father. We would be fearless in our obedience, God. Thank you, Lord, for a new grace, Lord, to run with you. And I just sense God wants to pour out a boldness on this congregation, a boldness on every person here to run when He says run, to hear His voice and to obey. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for a boldness. I thank you for a fearlessness. Lord, I thank you that, even the Scripture says, death, where is your sting? Death has no hold over us. What's the worst thing that can happen? God, and we thank you that we can trust you and we can joyfully and boldly obey you, God, because you've died for us, Lord. You've made a way for us, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for that. I thank you this morning, Lord, that we can boldly ask you, God, for a heart for the lost, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that this is why you died for us, Lord. You died for us and you died for every person out there, that we might know you, Lord. And this morning we ask you, God, that you give us that same heart for the lost in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'd show us your love, Lord. You'd open our eyes, Lord. God, I thank you that when we look upon a multitude, that you would come and move us on the inside like you did with Christ. Move us with compassion, that we would see, Lord, those around us are weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They're suffering, they're struggling. Even when on the surface there's a manner of life, but underneath there's a struggle and there's a gaping chasm of need for you, Lord. And I thank you tonight, Lord, for this morning, that you give us insight into that, Lord. You give us a heart for those around us, and you give us a boldness to pray for them, to reach out to them, to invest in people's lives, God, and to see people saved and see them discipled, God. Thank you for precious seed as we invest our time, Lord. Thank you that you delight in that, Lord. It's precious to you, God. In Jesus' name. I thank you even this week that you open eyes to see the need around us. And I thank you even beyond the need and the people that you... I just sense you're gonna see people that God has put around you this week that you haven't noticed in this way before. People that are ready to be encouraged, ready to hear, ready to receive the word, ready to... to come closer to God. And I thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes and that you give us wisdom and you give us direction and you give us boldness to minister into that need, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come in and through us, God, this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody who would like to share a word or encouragement? I mean, if you have any other prayer need, or if you're struggling with something, or if you have sickness in your body, God has made provision for you. Amen. So I'd love to minister to you. So if you have any prayer need, please join us. Join me in the front. I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Join us for some refreshments, and we'll see you soon. Okay. God bless.